Ready? Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Thank you. My name is Thomas Molbech, and together with Runar Olsen, here on my right, we will present this session on how to make your SharePoint portal social in 1, 2, 3. We're both working for the Microsoft Productivity Center of Excellence in Microsoft, which is a team that's responsible for driving IP development and pre-sales efforts around business productivity. In this presentation, we'll start by taking you through some of the challenges with portals in general today, and then continue to show you how key features in both SharePoint and Yammer can be used to address those challenges. So our main objective is to show you a concept on how you can utilize SharePoint and Yammer as it is today. Both SharePoint and Yammer are evolving every day, and what's in the product tomorrow might be different than we have right now. But we actually have capabilities in the product that we feel are underutilized. So we want to show you in a concept how you can apply those to your portal. So when you go out of our session today, we hope, number one, that you'll know how to drive portal content with the search and cross-site publishing features to make it much more dynamic. Number two, we'll show you how to leverage Yammer and the social features inside of SharePoint. There are a number of sessions around this, so we're not going to go deep dive. We'll just quickly go through the different ways. And number three is to show you how you can utilize the SharePoint analytics engine to drive features like most popular and related items, or people that view this also view that. That's also a feature that is underutilized, I feel, in the product. So first, let's take a step back and look at some general principles around collaboration. We have three main ways of communication. One is the way I'm doing right now, where you have one person or organization that is pushing content without any way of acting on a response. Number two is interaction, basically when you are talking to your wife. Should be interaction, right? A two-way communication where you have a chance to talk back. Number three is what we're trying to achieve in an organization. We have true collaboration. You have people working together to achieve a common goal. And then we can look at the interaction models. We have two main models. You have communication-centric, and we have content-centric. If you think about what people call social media today, it's mostly in the communication-centric area, which is not necessarily a good fit for an organization. Because in an organization, we want to drive content and be content-centric. So in our presentation today, we're going to focus more on how you can do many-to-many communication around content and get true collaboration in the organization. So our claim is that most company portals today they're not personal and they're not social. So we're missing out on most of the features and the social communication that especially younger people are used to today with the social media. We have mostly one-way communication. You have a person or a team that is pushing information out, for example, like a HR website, and there is no way to give feedback. So, for example, when you're posting guidelines in an organization, it can have errors that people discover. But since there's no way to report back, we'll just rediscover those errors without having a chance to actually improving that content over time. So we're gonna try to address some of those challenges. The portals are not social. They're not personal. They're mostly based on a role. So we are communicating to a consultant or an architect. We are not trying to make it fit to a person as such. So let's have a look at what we mean by a personal and social portal. So if we manage to get people to work together and let everyone have editorial control, at least a way to affect the communication, we can achieve higher quality. We will also utilize the way people are used to interact today with all the social media. And we will have a collaboration focus instead of a kind of an information-seeking focus. We'll also drive the content to be more personal so that you're met by an experience that is more personal when you enter the portal. So instead of the portal looking exactly the same for salespeople, marketing people, and engineers, we might have a chance to customize that and make it a more personal experience. And some of the features that we have adds extra value. For example, if you watched the demo yesterday on Oslo, we now in the product we have a coming feature that takes in all the signals and activities. But already today, we can achieve some of those things by having a look at the activities around objects. For example, when you use social features like likes, tags, follows, that's valuable information to us, and we want to utilize that information. We also have comment features, for example, in Yammer, that adds extra information that others want to see when they are working on the content. And last, we have activity around the objects that are already processed by the analytics engine in SharePoint. And we can use that to drive features like most popular content, for example. So, as I said, we have built a concept that is meant to showcase some of these things. We're not UI experts, so please don't look at this as a UI example, but more of a concept on how some of these features can be leveraged. Runar.
Thanks, Thomas. So I'm going to show you the demo we built to showcase all of this concept. And we've done this, just to be clear, on SharePoint Online. But this is functionality that exists today, also on-premise and in the cloud. So everything we're showing here in the demo is configuration only, which is a concept we're trying hard to get through here, that we're just using functionality that's here and present it in a different way. And like I said, this can work on-prem 2013 only and SharePoint Online today. So I'm logged in as Garth, and when he goes to the Contoso portal, you can quickly just see new content in a feed. And what we've done here is just visualize it a little more, more easier for him. So he can slide through different type of content. There's both videos, PowerPoint, and Word documents that are previewed in here. It's also just touch-friendly, so it's easy to navigate through it. On the top right hand, we just have some links that I can go to some quick action for the portal. And we've also done, here's our first integration of the social. It's just it's a social feed from the company feed that we put on this portal as well. So we can see what's trending, what's new, the discussion happening right now. We also aggregated the events for Garth, so we can see all the upcoming events for any type of events that are created around all the team sites or site collection that exists on this tenant or farm. Also, we just display the latest content that have been edited, and if you have a feed of all the new stuff that's been changed. So we're just aggregating information that exists everywhere else into our publishing portal that really doesn't have any content. It acts as an app by itself that aggregates information for Garth and visualizes it. So Garth goes in and takes a look and just narrows down to documents. Same thing here. He gets a personalized feed off the top, where we're reusing the template here to showcase just documents, PowerPoint and Word document exist in here, so you can flip through them. We also have narrowed down a feed showing the latest documents that has been changed. And we also have some editorial content that people, for editors that control the portal, they can also have a featured document that they want to showcase and push through. So most of this is dynamic, but also editorial controlled. Garth will go through and click on one of the documents right here to take a further look at the document and see what's in it. And what's going to happen then, we'll load a page that aggregated information around this document. So what we'll see here again is that I don't have to download the document to view it. I can view it in the browser. So we're just using the preview capability that exists in the product today. So I can quickly take a look at the PowerPoint right in here. Also, on the right-hand side, you can see that people who read this document or downloaded it also seen this related document. And we also filtered down on related videos and scoped it down to video. So people who read this document also watched these videos, fully on the recommendations engine in use. And also, we aggregated the feed for this document. So you can see we integrated with our social fabric here. We have a like button. I can like this document. Of course, who doesn't like their own page or two? He's created this document. And you can follow this document. And what he's noticing here is that there are some changes he wants to have happen. And Garth is a manager, and he wants to include Robin, who's our new hire, and wants her to own this document too and do some changes to it. So he'll just message Robin and say, can you do another revision of this doc? And you can just include the link as well to this and post it. So what's happening in here was using Yammer as a discussion forum too for this page. So it's aggregate information to this document and all the interaction and conversation that happened around this document into one feed. So what you're seeing here is just a pattern where we can aggregate information that happening just not just only show the document itself, but also show related content and discussion for it. Again, just putting all into one place. So I'm going to switch to Robin. She's a new hire, and like all right out of college, and they are more, from our experience too, working with this with customers, that new hires and people who's used to social media, they more imply to use like Yammer and those networks. It's more comfortable to share things in the open, etc. So if we switch to Robin, she's using Yammer as her homepage. So what happens is that she sees on her feed that's a new message for her, and she sees that Garth has sent her a link to a document. So in here, she can just go to click on this page to see the page from the document poster in Yammer. This is the page, OpenGraph page. And she sees the message here, and she can click on the document. And now she'll be taken into the SharePoint experience from Yammer. So she came from Yammer and went into SharePoint. She then can open the PowerPoint, do some changes to it. Once she's done, she will just post a reply to Garth from inline this experience. And Garth will be notified as well because he's using Yammer. So she completed this loop here as well. But you can see that she started from Yammer and just quickly got into SharePoint as one flow into her. She didn't really realize where she is, but she's using Yammer. Garth is using SharePoint more. So it works both ways. So she can also go in and just look at what other documents exist here. She's looking at more, looking to find more content. And now we can see that her feed is personalized for her as a new user. So she's seeing different documents than Garth. So if you go back and look at what Garth saw in his view, he saw a different feed than Robin. So all this is just we reordered the results. It's not filtered out. They can still see all content, but we're just showing the most what we think is the most relevant content for her by customizing the feed to her. So with that,
but Rudolf, this looks like a ton of work and coding to get this to work. Can you just briefly mention what we've done to achieve this integration?
Yeah, so this is, like I said, this works. We did this on SharePoint Online since that's the easiest, but we used content by search web parts and also the Yammer embed. So it's all just configuration and some script editors to do this. And also doing the publishing, it's a publishing portal that we created and use cross-site publishing to connect the data. So even though if I took away my portal, all the documents exist in the original state, that it's all there. The publishing portal is just a simple app with where we configured. So
it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's good. So if we switch back to the presentation, though, so to highlight the key, Thomas, can you go over the key technologies used to configure this experience? And clicker. Help me with the clicker. Oh. How it works.
So in this presentation, we have utilized three key technologies in Yammer and SharePoint. Number one that you saw is the cross-site publishing feature. And that's the one that enables you to write the content once and then make it surface in different places on your portal. So instead of what you normally do in 2010, where you're building a hierarchy and tons of pages, you utilize this feature to write the document in repositories, and then you use web parts to surface it. You have it living one place, and you have one revision, so it's updated in all places at the same time. We utilize display templates, and I'm going to go through those a little more in detail later. Which is a very easy way to achieve pretty significant UX changes, and it's very easy to reuse them. And then we have used term store-based navigation, which is just on the top there, and it gives us friendly URLs. And those of you that come from 2010, you know that not all SharePoint URLs can be equally friendly. The second part is our Yammer integration. We use it in two different ways. We use the embed JavaScript in here, and we've used the Open Graph API, which is not to be mixed up with the Office Graph, which is the Oslo Graph. The Open Graph enables you to basically perform any type of Yammer action on a URL level instead of on a company or a group level. And then we have used the analytics and recommendation engine to drive the sort by popularity and the recommended items that we had on a document level.
Thomas, then, can you talk about the Office Graph and what implication that has to the work?
So the Office Graph is the future. It's very different than the Open Graph in Yammer, but at the same time, it's somewhat related. If you watched the keynote, you would see that they have a good Yammer integration, which is basically utilizing the Open Graph. But the Office Graph is taking in all the signals, so all the actions and activities that are happening in an enterprise. And you also will get an API, so you can utilize that from code. So hopefully that's going to be included in our next demo webinar.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start with the cross-site publishing. Runar?
Yeah, so now we go a little bit deeper into the cross-site publishing that we used in our demo. Cross-site publishing is a great way to just connect to data and reuse content. So in our demo, we created a publishing portal that didn't have any content by itself, but we used the content that existed in all across different team sites and also for external data too. If you have something indexed outside of your farm, you can reuse that as well. In our demo, it's all contained nicely into SharePoint, though. But you can include other types of data into your experience well. The cross-site publishing, too, also does a little bit of forcing of having the authors focus on the content, whereas the publishing site and the portal, you can choose how to render the data and how to visualize it. So that as an author, or if you create an article or create documents, you don't have to think about how it's going to be displayed. You don't really have to think about the devices that are going to be used on, et cetera, or whether there's recommendations on the page or not, or Yammer feed, et cetera. There's a great way of separating the two, and that in the consumption part, when actually people go around and look for documents and find documents, it's all great and easy visualized on a single page and aggregated for the user. So that's a key concept we've done in our demo. We saw the publishing portal that just got data from all across the company. And it can be any type of content type, like videos. On this slide here, you see job openings, et cetera. So also, we used the targeted search-driven content so that on individual pages, we will have used the content by search web part. So there are dynamic pages. We only use a few pages in our setup, but those few pages just keys off the navigation from the term store and using content by search to dynamically render based upon the context. So from a SharePoint point of view, there's only two physical pages, but depending on how much content we have, there could be a thousand of different URLs. But we only have to focusing on configure that experience so we don't have to create statically thousands of pages like we might have used to in 2010 to some extent at least. And we also integrate that, like you saw, Yammer onto this. Yammer is just keying off the URL as well. And then dynamically, we don't have to, we can still use Yammer and content by search web part together. So just a few key pages powering a lot of different URLs. Also, for the visualization part, we're using the design manager to create the visualization of the publishing portal. We created a very simple master page and page layout for our demo. The master page is the first thing that's getting rendered. It's just basically the header and the footer. In the header, we have the search box and the term store navigation is linked to it as well. The page layout in our demo just consisted of, I think we had four columns. Some places we have 2x1. On the home page, I think we have four columns split up. It's a very simple page layout. And lastly, in each of these page laid out field controls, we can drop in web parts. And we just dropped in a script editor for the Yammer embed and also the content by search for the other data. So basically, master page, page layout together makes up the visualization. And in here is where we didn't do but in our demo, but that's where you can do a lot of the responsive design if you wanted to react on the width of the pages and render for mobile devices as well. So going down to the last level, the content by search web part. In the content by search web part, there's two different things that you can configure. And that's a control template that basically just takes care of the paging, how many results there are. And within each, for each of the items in your results, there's an item visualization, and that's the item display template. And we'll show you some of what we've done. And it's really all we did is took the out-of-the-box HTML template that existed, added a few lines of HTML and CSS to visualize it differently. So it's been very easy to use this this framework because it allows us to have multiple pages on our site and also just using out-of-the-box feature like Design Manager to create a supported visualized experience though. So very easy. Now we're going to show you cross-site publishing too in a little demo just to show what we did. So I'll start with showing you the catalog connection. So in the publishing site, that I'm on here I'm on the detail page. So this whole section here with the document is one display template. It includes both the Yammer and this visualization here. So this is in the search display template. We're keying off the URL. So this content by search web part is just searching for the URL, the document up here that has the Contoso story billboard and the item ID in the URL itself. And that's how it's dynamic. So the content by search web part here is just searching for that document that exists in the URL and using an iframe and the Word web viewer to render the content. And on this side here, there's another content by search web part, and on the bottom, another one. So that's how we visualize it. So how did I connect to the data? If you go to site settings, there's a tab in here for manage catalog connections. And in here, you can see that we just connected to various team sites for content that we wanted in our portal. So all I did here is just connect to content that already existed because I wanted to focus on experience for engineering, marketing, and HR documents around these topics. If I click through on the HR documents, when you go through this and do this, it automatically creates some pages as well. And I chose the friendly URL structure down here to include the list item ID and a title. I think by default it only had the ID, but we wanted, since people are passing this the URL from Yammer and sharing the URL, we wanted to look a little more friendly as well. So that's important when it shows up in Yammer, you can at least see the what this document is about. So once you do this and click OK and do this, I'm not going to go through these steps right now, but what happens is that if I go take a look at the pages library, it automatically created two key documents for me for each of this catalog. One is just for the item page, which is the detail page, and one is for the category page. The category page is the documents tab where we show aggregate all documents. So it's just two pages for that. To create that. These other pages here are some test pages we used, and there's also another one for the videos because we created a little bit different experience there. But we also want to take a look now at within the Content by Search web part, how did we configure that? And Thomas, you're going to go over the Content by Search display template.
Thank you. So the latest documents, and we also have a section on, where did my mouse go? On latest videos in some of those, they are based on a query. So a query happening in the background brings back a search result, and then we're applying a display template to it. And there are sections that are going much more in-depth and also on some of the capabilities you have there, so we're going to point you at those later. But let me just show you quickly the principles that Runar mentioned around the control template and the display, the item templates. When you go into a Content by Search web part, you'll see that you have a control template. That's basically the one that controls the flow of the results. The most typical one is with the hub list, so you're basically just listing the items. But with a little creativity, you can use this to have a tabular view, or as we have done here, to have like a slider view with your finger. And I'm going to show you just very briefly how easy it is to achieve that. We also have an item template. And in our example, we just took the out-of-the-box item recommendation template, and we added a few lines of code. And to show you the kind of the how little work it is to customize these and build on these, I'm going to show you just how we added the department. And you see the line number 2 up here, where it says marketing documents. It's extracted just from the URL of the documents. So just a poor man's approach of pulling out the department. So let me just switch over to my editor. So when we want to display more properties on a page, and we call them managed properties. And if you don't know what the difference between curl properties and managed properties, I recommend you to go to the search architecture session tomorrow. We're going to go into that in much more detail. But managed properties is basically the ones that are coming back from the search results. And you have full access to everything that is in the search index. But for the display template to act on them, you need to list them in the mapping table that comes in. So I'm basically pulling in the original path for the document, and then I have a few lines of code further down here to extract the category from that path. So I'm not going to dive into the code, but I'm just basically just pulling out an element from the path and putting it into a variable. And then the third part is just to display that on the screen. So and it's just a few lines here. I'm just testing if the string is empty. And if it's not empty, then I'm just displaying it in the same way as everything else. So a few lines of configuration, JavaScript and HTML, and you can add very valuable content to the screen.
So Thomas, all the other text I'm seeing on the screen, you didn't create that?
No, so that's we've just took the out-of-the-box templates, and they're very good starting points. I also know that there are sessions that are going to go more into debugging of display templates and to work with display templates. So very powerful. The next thing I'm going to do is to show you how we built this slider template. We basically took a controller item from CSS. We imported the CSS. And then we edited the out-of-the-box control. So this file here is the control template that we're using for that content by search web part. And one div tag here, that's all we need to wrap the items. Okay, because this is the control template that controls the flow of the items. Okay, and then we need to add a different div tag to our items so that they belong inside of that control template. And that's all we need to do to get a finger-friendly slider on the screen.
So the control template got a list of many different results that we displayed across all of them. And then for each individual item, we chose how to visualize that item. And that's the you're showing
correct.
Right here.
So we showed you two totally different ways of displaying content with the Content by Search web part. They look very different, but it's all based on the same content in the background. So over to the slide deck.
Switch here. So we saw how to, in our publishing site, in our demo, how to connect to the data, and also saw how to visualize the data and how to use the display templates to visualize it in for the specific items or the specific web parts that we used. And all that, this was using the cross-site publishing a feature that exists in 2013 on-premise. It was released, the content by search web part was released to SharePoint Online in October. And it's all the different types of features in there, the faceted navigation, and the product catalog site template is coming to SharePoint Align as well later this year. And also the dedicated plans I did get the cross-site publishing. And also notice that the middle column here is for the public website, that there's no cross-site publishing there right now, but the engineering team is working on it, and it will be launched. It will come to the public website as well. So now we're going to take a look at the, we looked at cross-site publishing, how to get data, and now we're going to look at how we did the Yammer integration, the social integration into our portal and in our demo that we saw. So using Yammer, you have three basic options right now to integrate into your portal. You have the Yammer SharePoint app that you can download from the store and just install. It's very quick and easy. Every team site can do that. It's very easy to configure. You can point it to a company feed, et cetera. But for us, it didn't give us some of the UX flexibility we wanted. So we used the Yammer embed JavaScript widget that you can just put in a script editor or in a link to from a content editor. And you can configure some of the UX customizations there. The benefit of using these, though, using the app or the embed, is that any changes that happen or that Yammer does to the UI, like we can't control the UI, but on the flip side, if they add a new content type, add new features to it, we're getting it for free without doing any changes. So there's two sides to this, though.
And to give you just one example of what's being rolled out the last couple of weeks is a preview for SharePoint documents, which was not a feature in Yammer before, but it showed up just the last few weeks.
Yeah.
So by using the built-in Yammer components, you get that feature automatically in your feed.
So an example, we had this presentation, part of it, for an internal conference a few months back, and we just inherited this feature before SBC. So we just got it for free without doing any work, basically. The third option, if you do want to visualize the Yammer data differently, if you do want to create your own experience using it, you totally can using the Yammer REST API, and you have much more flexibility to access the control to access the feed through XML or JSON, and I'll show you some examples of that as well. Now, the Open Graph is a very powerful way of integrating more tightly with the Yammer platform. So what you can do is you can use the Open Graph API if you have external content that doesn't, you can define your own content types as well. And what we did here is we just took our documents and created a version basically of them in Yammer. So we had created a landing page for our documents in Yammer. And this happened actually automatically. As you saw, Garth actually just started posting in the Yammer embed, and automatically it was a page created in Yammer when it did that. We didn't actually have to create some code to push it into SharePoint. Just by using Yammer embed, it automatically creates a page for us in Yammer.
So Runar, we showed how you can use this on a URL in SharePoint, but what if I have documents in Documentum or some other system? Could I use that for Yammer as well and Open Graph?
Yeah, and that's exactly what the Yammer Open Graph is for, is to create other line of business application. If you have created your own application, if you're using other content management systems, you can take that and use the same same embed, same APIs to create that same type of experience, no matter where your content is. So just looking more closely at the Open Graph capability, the activity feed. So what happens when we post it is, behind the scenes, we have a format that we can use. So it's everything that you typically do through the Yammer APIs, you do ask the person himself. So when Garth posted, he posted as Garth, he created a page in Yammer. And the object we did was a document in our case. It could also be like a travel entry or something else if you have your own type of business application. But this is where you can just create a few lines of code to post an activity and also the action on the certain object that you have. This is available then through the embed JavaScript widget that we use. And you can also do this through the REST API if you have a managed code outside of, for instance, SharePoint, the SharePoint portal that we were using. But it's a very easy way to integrate it. And once you do that, you're part of the Yammer experience as well, so that when people search for things in Yammer, they can find your object from Yammer. And that means that if users are sitting in Yammer and using that as their homepage, they will find your document. Or if people are using your other line of business system or CMS, they will find the same type of discussion from there. There's a way to bridge the gap between the two, so they're not separate experiences. And it fits with what you saw from a keynote, is that social is just something that enables open communication across all different applications. We saw it with the groups as well in Outlook. So let's go and take a look at that in a demo. So Thomas, you'll show us the Yammer app. And then we'll move into the embed and the REST API as well.
So as Runar mentioned, the Yammer app is the easiest possible way to integrate Yammer. As long as you have edit rights on your page, you can drop that in. And this is just a mock-up page that we're using. And here I have dropped in the Yammer app. It's available in the SharePoint store. So anyone can just download it, and then you can use it either in your site collection or on your pages. As you mentioned, it has fairly limited options. You could basically choose either to display a home feed or a company feed or a group feed, so basically any type of group that you create, or a comment feed, which is the Open Graph API. You type in a URL of some kind, and then you can use that to display it. So those are the three options. You have no control over what it looks and how it displays on your page. And in our application, we chose to use the embed widgets because we wanted to have our own social heading, and we wanted to change the width and some of the other properties on the page. And the Yammer team has been nice enough to provide us with a builder. So a configuration builder. So it's basically producing the Yammer embed JavaScript for you. So for example, I can say that I want the width to be 450 pixels instead. You can choose to turn off the header like we did. And you'll see that it's updating the JavaScript code for you, so you can paste it in. Again, you have fairly limited control over what displays on the inside, which is good and bad. The good thing is that means you'll get access to new features. Bad thing is if you want to have full editorial control. So over to you, yep. Runar.
Yeah, so that was the app and the bed. I also just want to show you how we integrated into the commenting for a single URL. So you notice that we have a friendly URL on the top, and we have aggregated the conversations around here too. I want to show you another feature that we didn't get to show in the first, but you can see here that once we created Garth posted a comment on it, and once he did it, we extracted some text from the document as well before we pushed it in here. So I'm going to show you how we did that as well, extracted the key concept for the document. So the code behind this is in the display template, and the reason for that is that we want to get to the URL of the document and choose what URL we're using for the Open Graph page. And again, we just used the same configurator that Thomas showed us to create the basic code we're doing. This is just a little display template trick to make sure we're loading the Yammer embed JavaScript library before we render the page. So that's something that's documented online on the Content by Search display template. So in here, we now have the Yammer embed code, and we just put some new feeds as some properties to this object, which is the original path. So we're discussing the original path of the document. Remember, we're in a publishing site, and we're getting content from somewhere else, and we're actually going to comment on that original path, because that's where, if other people on a team site are using Yammer and posting from there, we have the same aggregate view from both.
And it also enables you to have the same discussion regardless of where you are posting that content.
Exactly.
So
yep.
That you can aggregate both the comments and the likes and the follows all in one place.
Yeah. And in this display template now, remember that this is actually how to render a search result. And the search results here is a document. And one of the cool things that a search engine does for us is it cracks open the document, the PowerPoint, the Word document, etc. And one of the things it does is extract the key chapters in a document. So what we're doing is saying, hey, let's just reuse that metadata it extracted from the document and include it in the feed to Yammer. So basically, we just put a little description here saying, this document has this section. So the section name is coming from the search engine. So just another little way to input or to enrich the object that goes into Yammer. Again, there's some documentation on yammer.com/connect that you can see the embed code and see some of these properties we used. Also, we wanted to use the action buttons of like and follow. And you can see in here that all we need to do that is choose the network and the action is like. And then we get automatically a like button, a follow button in our SharePoint portal. The only thing we did that was special for it is that, again, we want to have consistently choose which URL we're liking. So we chose to have it be the path, the same path, and the same title. So just a few configuration changes we had to do to have the same experience, liking on the same documents across SharePoint and Yammer. Another thing that happens when you do the like button is that if you go to, let's see, I don't have it here, but in Yammer, on the homepage, you will see the activity stream feed. The activity stream feed is on the top right. And that's where you can see who liked what type of document. So what also happens is that you can see in here that Robin followed a document. She also liked this document. So this is the activity stream. So we surfaced our SharePoint likes and follow in our publishing site here in Yammer. And didn't have to create that experience ourselves. So that was the embed. I also mentioned that you can use the REST API to visualize the data as well. So what we did in our portal is we created aggregated some information about the usage for our portal. So in here on our reports tab, I can go in and see how many messages are there per day on our Yammer network. So if it's a group feed that I visualized differently. So all we did there is using the REST API. This is the group feed API we're using. If I do this in the browser, I get XML from the code. I'm getting back JSON. But you can see in here that this is the feed from all the documents that have happened. And in here, for each message, each post in Yammer, I have the date, and I have who did it, etc. So all we did, we created some JavaScript code that looped through this feed, aggregated just the number of messages per day, and used the jqplot library to visualize this data. So the code behind that was just using the REST API. So you can see here we're using some jQuery to get the message. We're just getting all these messages. We loop through it. Once we have a hash table of messages per day, we can choose to visualize it however we want. So again, this is just to show you that if you want to do different visualization of the Yammer data, you can. There's a few restrictions of this. This is just the last 20 messages per feed. We loop through it a few times to gather up the last few hundreds, but it's not the complete history. So you notice, too, is that we did also do an aggregated on this page is we just put the Yammer data export. So Yammer allows you to export all data for your network. Also, you can give it a time frame. So what we did here is we just did that for using you extract the data and you get an Excel file. And we use Excel to just visualize the data a little bit differently. Since we have the profile information of where these users are, we can see in here where the users are using our portal and where they're coming from, where they're posting from. And also, we can also see in here like a complete who's the top posters all time, etc. So if you want to create more rich reports, you can. It's possible to do that. We also just included here a report from the statistics page on our page, which is also just the view, not the posters on our page, but how many times the people viewed the content on our page. So with that, we've seen different examples of how you can include Yammer into the experience. We used the Yammer app. We showed how to use the OpenGraph API using the Yammer embed, and also show how you can really go and customize the Yammer experience by visualizing it very differently using the REST API.
So anywhere from one line of configuration where you just choose what feed to have to full control where you can build analytics reports.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's switch over to the analytics portion and the recommendations and how we can leverage that engine in a social experience. So what basically happens under the hood, and this is turned on in Office 365, which maybe not everyone knows, as well as you can turn it on in your on-premise farm. Every time you are viewing an item, being a search result or anywhere else, it's recording events, and then it's processing those events. And for our use case here, what's interesting is that it's counting up view events, so we can use that for popularity. It has two types, views recent and views all time. So you can look at all-time popularity or just what is trending. The other thing it does is to build an item-to-item graph, which basically means that if people are looking at some items in the same session, so for example, this report and that PowerPoint, it's going to create a connection between those. And it has to be over a number of people and over a period of time so that the quality is actually very similar to what you see on Amazon or similar. And then we can take that item-to-item graph and play around with it. And I'll show you more how we can do that. So here's just one example. I'll take you through a few screenshots of how we can play with recommendations. Your typical search result is we're searching for marketing, and you sort that by relevancy. Out of the box, the relevancy is already affected by the usage because you're boosting items that people are actually clicking on as part of the search result. But then we can go further and we can say, show me the search results, but I want to see them by popularity instead. I want to see them by views lifetime. What are the most popular results? It might not be very interesting for a broad query, but in our case, where we're using a query for a content by search web part on fairly narrow content, showing it by popularity is actually very useful. And then we can take and drill down and look at the recommendation for a particular item. What happens when it's processing this analytics information and it's actually feeding it back into the search engine and updating it directly on the documents? So you have a field in the search index called recommended for. So when I'm doing a query recommended for this particular item, it's going to give me back all the items that are tagged with my URL or ID. And then we can take it one step further and slice and dice. For example, let's say that I'm only interested in PowerPoints in the category marketing, and I only want to see the ones that are popular or trending right now. So you see the kind of power that we have over the analytics engine. And I'll show you now in a quick demo how we can how we have leveraged this in our concept. So here I'm on our detail page. In this case, it's a PowerPoint. And you see what we call related documents on the right side. That's a filtered result on other documents that are recommended for my item. You'll also see that we have related videos. So we have just to show two different types of feeds that are coming from the same recommendations. And you'll see on the bottom here that we also showing the number of views, because that's also something we get right out of the search engine. Showing you the queries in the background, they are a little messy because we are querying libraries and stuff. But to show the concepts, I'll bring up a tool that you can find on Coldplex for playing around with queries. It's a search query tool that a group of Microsoft SMEs have worked on. And if I'm not wrong, there's a new release coming out later this week if you're interested. But this is a must-have if you play around with queries in SharePoint 2013. And the beauty is that you can connect it to your on-premise farm, or you can, like we have done here, I have connected it to SharePoint Online, and you have directly access to the query API online. And in my example here, I'm just going to take a video, social product innovation, and show you some of the managed properties that we get out of the box. Because to play around with recommendations, we need to grab the original path. That's what it's using for recommendations. But before I go there, let me show you the views. Views recent and views lifetime. And show you that you get those back as part of the search result. So here you see these two parameters, views lifetime and views recent. And in our case, we have used those both to show popularity and to sort by popularity. So pretty powerful, simple, and powerful. Then I can take this one step and look at the recommended items. So let me take out the original path. And if you remember, we have an attribute called recommended for. And if I just type in that URL. So now I'm getting back items that are recommended for my document. But you'll notice, if you look closer, that there's a lot of noise here that I don't want. For example, you'll see that I have team sites and I have home pages and stuff like that. It's because obviously people are clicking on the home page. They might even come from the home page, right? So we need to filter that out. So as a minimum, I can type in is document true and limit this to documents. And now I'm, at least now I'm getting back office documents, right? And then we can take it one step further and we can do sorting by views recent. I want to see documents sorted by trending. So we're adding in sorting by trending. And now I'm getting back documents that are popular right now within that category. And then you can go further. You can slice it by department or videos, or documents, etc., etc. There is one thing that we forgot to mention, Runar. And to achieve this in a display portal, you have to make sure that when people are viewing it in your portal, that you are logging the events on the right URL. Out of the box, the views that you generate there are logged on the friendly URL. There's an article on TechNet that shows you that little JavaScript snippet that you have to type in so that you ensure that your clicks are viewed on the original path, which is what we're using for Yammer, and we're using it here for the recommendation engine. Okay, Runar, then we're going to switch back to the deck. I forgot to mention one little thing, Runar, and we have a personalized experience in our documents. And I believe you showed it to people in the in the first demo. They might not remember. But this web part that you might be interested in, we have personalized that by putting in a portion. And Runar, maybe you can just explain quickly.
Yeah, like you saw, we just this is a content by search web part. And we added in the user's department to the query so that we can use the, that's just in the Content by Search web part query builder. You can access the user profile store and get information from there. So we just rank documents differently based upon what department they're coming from. So just one simple example of how to use personalization.
Thanks. So let's switch over and I'll show you. So that's using a department code. But we can also take this further. We haven't done this yet, but it doesn't require too much coding. So let's say that you keep track of people's activities and what they're working on. You look up their profile and collect those URLs. Then you can use that as part of your query. You could say recommended for, and then the latest list of documents she's been working on. And you'll get a good collection. And then if you sort that by views recent or similar, you can produce pretty good and relevant recommendations for her. And to make sure that you boost documents that are closer, you can either use the department or the circle of people that she works with. And then produce something like you might be interested in or similar that is part of the welcome screen and create a true personalized experience. So to wrap up, Runar, let's just look quickly at what is coming in the product.
Yeah. So like we told you, in our demo, we're just using everything that you can do today on 2013 on-premise, as well as today in the SharePoint Online or 365. But like you saw the announcement on the Office Graph, is new functionality that's coming later this year. And then what that is just more signals for us to use in a departmentalized portal. Like we saw, the Office Graph was used by the codename Oslo app, and that's one example where you get documents from all over your tenant. We can have a portal that you narrow down to the specific kind of content or experience you want. So when Office Graph API is available to us to use, we can use that as well for a further enriched experience. What you saw today and what we showed, you still have access to a lot of the view signals, but I think feel like the Office Graph will give us a lot more because it's just collecting even more signals than just the view counts and who viewed what, and also like the percentage to and what's trending around me. And also, key for the Office Graph is that you can we can integrate too with external data, so not just the Microsoft data, but the API will allow us to enrich with other types of document, other types of line of business applications we have to help create an experience like you saw today or other types of experiences. So by that, I just want to recap that we looked at how to create a portal, how to integrate tightly with the social elements. We looked at the search and cross-site publishing and how that role that plays. We looked at how to Yammer, look to leverage the Yammer social features to include them, and also to use the little use from my experience as a customer, the analytics engine, to drive a lot of the features. And by doing this, we have created an adaptive site that people can collaborate on, It's also using, by using the views, it stays, the content is up to date, and I have to do a lot of editorial work to maintain it. We did skim through a lot of things. There are other sessions I'll go into to more details on this, and we listed some of them in here as well. So, with that, thank you.
Before we open up for questions, we're going to switch. I just wanted to know that Rune and I, we love positive feedback. So when you go into give us reviews, please know that 5 is the baseline. That means we did an okay job. If you have any complaints, then come up to us after instead of posting it there. Well, thank you. We're happy to take questions. And we're also going to be at the Microsoft office stand the next few hours. So if you want to discuss in more detail, you can find us there. Thank you.